I want you to look at your friend and say, you have a purpose. Okay, if you say that to your friend, you can't say it like, you got a purpose. You know, that it just like doesn't even come out right, okay? So go ahead and look at your friend and say, you got a purpose. No, no, no. Look at your friend and go like, man, you got a purpose, man. All right, now I want you to look at him and go, listen, I want you to look at him and go, I got a purpose. Now, if you didn't say it, that's a problem. Now, if you're in the car or you listen on the internet, it's okay if you say it out loud. Everyone, let's say it together. I got a purpose. I got a purpose. It's very true. You have a purpose. And so did the nation of Israel. Israel had a purpose. And their purpose was to be a light to the world. Their purpose was to shine for God. Their purpose was to honor God and to glorify Him. Their purpose was to be holy as He is holy. Their purpose was to love their neighbor as themselves. But unfortunately for them, they missed their purpose. And sometimes we do as well. And in the process of missing our purpose, sometimes God has to get our attention. Sometimes He's got to wake us up. Sometimes He's got to jar us a little bit to help us realize that He is God and we are not. You see, our purpose, well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whether we eat or whether we drink, is to glorify God. I was teaching this past week at Coast Hills, and we were talking about the very fact that sometimes we get all caught up in some other focus besides focusing on Jesus. And so we get caught up in what we wear and caught up what we're going to eat and caught up what we're going to put on. You see, no, our focus, our purpose is to glorify God. And if we ever lose that focus, well, God has a way to get our attention. And that's exactly what's happening in Daniel chapter 1. Would you look at verse 1? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, I practiced that word all day long. It came out so great. I'm so proud of myself right now. I can't believe it. So I'm going to try it again. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, I want one of you to clap. I mean, I tried, you know? Yeah. All right, here we go. King of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that's not tongues. That's somebody's name. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. If you ever go to a Pentecostal church and they're all speaking in tongues and you want to just kind of do it with them, just to go Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. Just like let it come out, you know, like over and over again, right? I'm kidding. Don't do that. Some of you are going to be like, well, Pastor Chet told me just say Nebuchadnezzar, okay? His name's not great, okay? Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. What? God, don't you rescue Jerusalem? I mean, aren't they the people of God? Don't you come through for the people of God? I mean, wait a second. This is not the happily ever after that we're looking for. Now, God, let me explain. He has sent countless prophets. God has expressed with countless signs. God has been trying to get the children of Israel's attention. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. So God's got to do something to wake them up. And He allows a Gentile king, He allows a wicked king to overtake and to besiege Jerusalem. Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Wait a second. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim? I don't understand this. I mean, how could you do this, God? I mean, you're the one that's responsible for this. You're the one that has allowed this. Now, I don't know if you've ever had those days where you wake up and you wish you were never born. I don't know if you've ever had those days where it just goes from bad to worse to worser. I don't know if you've ever had those days where it's like, I wish I never would have gotten out of bed. Anyone ever had that day before? Where you just wish you just never, okay, three people. The rest of you have South County, Orange County, wonderful, great lives, right? You just shop at the South Coast Plaza every day and buy like a $300 outfit, right? No? No, let me tell you. Some days there's bad days. Jesus Himself said, the rain's going to fall on the just and the unjust. You see, some days the rain's going to fall. Some days the sun is going to scorch. Are you telling me, Lord, that you've directed that? Are you telling me, Lord, that you have caused that to happen? That you've allowed that to happen? Well, look at Job's life. Look at what Job went through. Now, we know that God had an intended purpose for Job, but it's easy to read James chapter 5 after Job's experienced it than it is to actually go through the experience and wonder, God, where in the world are you? But I want you to know something. God has a plan for your life. I want you to look at your friend and say, God has a plan for your life. Go ahead, say it to him. Now listen, I want to tell you something, okay? Listen, I've told my family this, so I'm going to tell you guys this, all right? I tell them all the time. I've got 9 kids, and I tell them all the time. We are not a cool family, okay? We are not cool. We are nerds. We are geeks. We are just not cool. So I don't want you to act cool around all your friends, because when I come to give you a big hug or I want to hold you or whatever, don't you be like, oh, Dad, leave me alone, okay? So here's the deal. You are not cool. Look at you. You're a bunch of nerds, okay? I'm telling you. So when I say to you to say something, don't be like, I'm way too cool for that, okay? No, we're left. We're not cool, okay? So once you look at your friend, I want you to say, God has a plan for your life. You guys, work with me. I spent a lot of time with Pentecostals last week, okay? So I want you to look at your friend and say, God has a plan for your life. Some of you looked at your friend and you went, oh. It's quite possible that you're the one person God forgot. No, I'm going to tell you something. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim. You see, God had a plan for the nation of Israel. And the plan was to wake them up. You see, God was trying to get their attention. And not only did the Lord give Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, listen to what he says, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me, Nebuchadnezzar, that you went into the temple? You Gentile? Are you telling me that you took the table, the showbread, the menorah? Did you actually go into the Holy of Holies? Let me tell you something. When the priest would go once a year into the Holy of Holies, he wore bells. And because when he went in there and he had a rope around his foot, if they stopped hearing the bells, they simply pulled on the rope a dead body out. You didn't go into the Holy of Holies if you were a sinner or if you had sin. So concerned were the priests about going into the Holy of Holies, they used to draw straws to see who would go in. Now, can you imagine if you picked the straw and now it's your turn to go in and they're wrapping a rope around your foot, they're putting the coat of bells on, and you're like, here I come, Jesus, forgive me. It's like, imagine going into the Holy of Holies. This is what they had to do. No one can go in the Holy of Holies. And Nebuchadnezzar, you went in, you took the ark. And not only did you take the ark, you took the golden cup and you took all of these things from the temple and you carried them to your God. God, what is going on? This is Jerusalem. This is your people. But God has a plan. Say it again. God has a plan. You see, in Daniel chapter 5, we understand that God has a plan for those vessels. And I want you to know something. According to the New Testament, you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. You're an earthen vessel that the Holy Spirit fills, and wherever you are, God wants to use you. And we find these vessels once again being used in Daniel chapter 5. And there in Daniel chapter 5, there's a guy by the name of Belteshazzar. He's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Now that's a bunch of tongues, right? Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar. Now you've got a whole bunch of words you can say. And Belteshazzar, he decides with all of his pomp and circumstance to throw a huge party. And he wanted everyone to know that the gods of Babylon were greater than all the gods in the whole world. So this is what he did. He said, bring me the cup that came from Israel. I'm going to drink from that cup and let everybody know that our gods are bigger than that God. So the cups were brought, and in this party, he starts to drink, and then all of a sudden, a hand shows up. And the hand goes over to the wall and writes, Belteshazzar, you're in a lot of trouble. Now just imagine if all of a sudden a hand shows up on the screen behind me, and not like a video hand, like a hand, and all of a sudden it says, Chet, you're in a lot of trouble. Some of you would be shaking. Some of you would be running out of here. Some of you would be going, he caught him. I knew God would get him. Listen, some of you might just go, I am out of here. Listen, if it wasn't my name, I would probably run too. But that name, hand shows up. Chet, you're in a lot of trouble. Belteshazzar was so afraid, okay? So afraid. The Bible says that he was shaking till his joints came out of joint. He was terrified. I bet you he peed his pants. He was terrified. He didn't know whether to run. He didn't know whether to hide. All of a sudden, he's looking at this thing and he can't believe. Now, let me tell you something. God had a plan. You see, though Nebuchadnezzar took these vessels, and though Nebuchadnezzar put them in a dusty heap for years, God had a plan to use those vessels. And sometimes I think we feel that God has forgotten us. Sometimes I think we feel that God doesn't have a plan for us. And weeks go by, and months go by, and years go by, and we're wondering, what in the world, God, are you gonna do with my life? When do you give me my calling? When do you give me my purpose? But did you hear what Pete said? God is constantly in his process. You are a construction project, and you can be confident that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it. Sometimes you're looking at someone in your life and you're wondering, when is God going to move in that person's life? When is God going to do that thing for that person? Let me tell you something. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're God's vessel. And it may seem that those vessels were sitting there from granddad to dad, now to grandson, but God had a purpose for those vessels and why they would be there, because they would bring judgment onto Babylon when the Medes and the Persians would come in one night and destroy the entire empire. Belteshazzar, you're in a lot of trouble. Now, I wonder if I had to call someone out in the audience, all right? Let me pick Luke, all right? And Luke is sitting right here. He's got a red cap on. And just imagine if all of a sudden the hand showed up and, Luke, you're in a lot of trouble. And then all of a sudden, what's your name? Let's see. What's your name right here? Yeah, what's your name? Sorry? Lauren, just imagine, Lauren, you're not in any trouble, but Luke's in a lot of trouble. Right? Just imagine if all of a sudden all your sins are starting, your name goes up there, and all of a sudden all of your sins get listed straight down. Let me tell you something, something would happen in you, and something happened in Belteshazzar. And let me tell you something, you are God's vessel, and God wants to use you in your world for his glory to let the world know that there is a God. And that's what those vessels were doing. And God was not wasting any time. At his perfect time, God brought judgment on the nation of Babylon. Going on, would you look with me in verse 3? Then the king instructed Asphanas, the master. I practiced that word all day today too. Man, it's like the Spirit of God came on this place, okay? Then the king instructed Asphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. I need to let you know something. The enemy has a plan for your life. The enemy has a plan for your life. The king instructed Asphanaz. Let me tell you something. Once again, I want you to listen to this. God has a plan for your life, But the enemy has a plan for your life as well. And Jesus tells us what that plan is: to kill you, to destroy you, and to steal your life away from you. That's what he wants to do. That's his plan. And so the enemy says to his little demonic imp, Aspenaz, I want you to go and find some people for me. I want you to go and grab some of those holy Jerusalem people, and I want you to bring them into my kingdom because I've got a plan for them as well. The enemy has a plan for your life. Now, let me tell you about the enemy. He don't show up and go, hi, my name is Lucifer, and I'm about to destroy your life. Follow me. He doesn't do that. No. That's not what he does. He's a cute guy with a big chest and big biceps and says, hey, follow me. And you go, I knew God loved me. He's a beautiful girl. A beautiful girl, and she's got blonde flowing hair and blue eyes, and she just wore the tightest clothes you could ever see. And when she looked at you, she went, and you went, hoo-hoo-hoo. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Now, I'm not saying that blonde hair, blue-eyed women, and I'm not saying that guys with big chests are from Satan. What I am saying is that the enemy's a liar. And he will lie to you and he will deceive you. And here's the thing about deception. You won't know it's happening. And that's why you need the Word of God to guide you. That's why you need accountability around you. That's why you need fellowship, and you shouldn't neglect gathering yourselves together. You see, the enemy's a liar and a deceiver, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And you better believe he is sending out Aspenaz out into Christian world, and he's saying, go and get me some of those holy rollers. Go and get some of those Christian people because I want to destroy their lives. Go get me young men, verse 4. Whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace. Now listen carefully, young men, okay? I want to get some young people. I want to start when they're young. I want to put a different philosophy in them. I want to teach them our way. I want them to move away from truth. I want them to be young. I want them to be good looking. I don't want them to have any blemish. I want them to be gifted with all wisdom. Let me tell you something, young Christian. You have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. Before God, you are without blemish. You've been saved and you are sanctified. And let me tell you something, young Christian. The enemy hates your guts. You've been given the mind of Christ, and all of the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God, has been given to you in the Word of God. You had better believe that the Bible is trying to warn you that there's a target on your forehead and the devil is out to get you. And I want you to see how he does it. Now remember, I told you he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he says this, I want to get these who are quick to understand, verse 4, who had ability to serve in the king's palace. I want them in my court. I want them serving the enemy. I don't want them serving God. And whom they might, listen, number one, teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. I want to teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Can I tell you something? I was going to list the top 10 pop songs, but I can't say the titles on the radio. Did you hear that? I want to list the top 10 songs that are out there, but I can't list some of the titles on the radio. That's how raunchy they are. The language and the literature of the world. And you know, everyone says, oh, my music and my movies, they don't affect me. Then why do so many Christians fall away? They say, the music that I listen to, the movies, they don't affect me. Then why do so many young people find themselves engaged in sexual relationships prior to marriage? Oh, no, my music, my movies, the language of the Chaldeans, it doesn't affect me. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. You see, Denial is not a river in Egypt. It's a reality that if you, you got, some of you are just like, Luke, you're in a lot of trouble. Lauren, you're still good, okay? Here's the deal. The enemy's not going to show up and go, hey, the music you're listening to, you have no idea, but I'm just going to, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create headphones so that no one else can hear it, not even your parents, not your friends, and we're going to just infuse it into your brain. Now, I'm not saying headphones are from the devil because we can listen to worship music, but what I am saying is that he's not going to tell you that the music you're listening to is going to lead you down a path. No, the language of the Chaldeans, the literature of the Chaldeans. He goes on to say, would you look with me, please? And the king appointed them, verse 5, for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them. Now listen carefully. Number 2, I want them to have wine. I want them to have all the food. Would you just tempt them with everything out there? Can I tell you something? I know the Marlboro man. He's on a horse. Good-looking guy, okay? Holding his horse, got a big old cowboy hat, and he's like, that's a man. I want to be like him, right? Ask him 50 years from now what his lungs look like and what he's struggling with. And I know she is perfect, right? I know she's perfect, and she wears the perfect clothes, and they have the perfect pictures. And I know, I want to let you know there's one little word that models use today, Photoshop. Okay, Photoshop. And I know that. Not that I'm a model. I know you guys were wondering, okay? No. One of my dearest friends was a model. And one day I looked at a picture and I said to him, I go, dude, that's not you. He goes, I know. What they do is they spray like your tattoos off and they like kind of elongate your face a little bit and they kind of make your chest a little bit bigger. And I'm like, this isn't you. It's not you at all. He goes, dude, Photoshop. I know. That's just what it is. He's a liar and a deceiver. That's just who he is. And so he gives you a visual image and tempts you to go all these kind of way, buy all these kind of products, because if you buy this, you will look as good and as cool. Well, listen, we're not cool. We're geeks. We're nerds. And we just convince ourselves of that, we'll stop spending so much money and go on credit like we oftentimes do so that we can be cool. Why don't we just be nerds for Jesus? I got an amen. Someone in the back goes, I am not a nerd for Jesus. Okay, I'm cool. Look at my clothes. Okay. But he tempts you. And what he does, he intoxicates you with the ways of the world. You have it. I want it. Going on, I want you to see what else he does. He says, and he trains them for not just one, not just two, 3 years of training for them so that at the end of the time, they might serve before the king. I've got a goal and I've got a plan, the enemy says. I want them serving me. We'll backslide them a little bit. We'll just drift them away a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they won't even know. They're no longer going to church. They're no longer in fellowship. No, they're all the way on the other side. They're actually serving me. We're going to train him 3 years. So several years ago, my son came to me with a challenge. The ice bucket challenge. Do you remember that? How ridiculous was that? Okay, was it like 4 or 5 years ago? The ice bucket. How many of you did the ice bucket challenge? Anyone do the ice bucket? Okay, you're just as dumb as I am. Okay? And you know why we did it? You know why we did it? Because everybody else was doing it on social media. And because everybody else in the world was doing it, well, we're going to take a bucket of ice and pour it on us as well. We're going to look as big and as dumb and as idiotic as the rest of the world by pouring ice on us. And if social media is doing it, then it must be cool. Hello. Here's another one. How many of you did the cinnamon challenge? Raise your hand if you did the cinnamon challenge. And you took a spoonful of cinnamon, which could have killed you, and you ate it. You know why you did it? Because social media trained you. It told you to do it, and it's cool. No, it's dumb, and it made you look dumb, and you had cinnamon coming out your nose and your ears, and you didn't even know what was happening to you. But social media is cool, right? It's amazing to me how in this world, we allow millions of other people to tell us how to live our lives. They're training us. He's not going to show up and go, hey, I'm going to use social media and you're going to snort some cinnamon and don't worry about it, you will die. He just doesn't do it like that. No, he uses something fun that you spend up to 6 to 8 hours a day on, looking at pictures, looking at people's lives, looking at what's cool, and mimicking them. Now, I'm not saying social media is bad. What I'm saying is be careful that you're not being deceived to throw a bucket of ice water on you. My son was so dumb, he actually went into a bathtub of ice and sat there for 5 minutes. And I said, son, why are you doing this? Well, because everybody else is. Take a look with me, if you would, at verse 6. He's sitting right here and he goes, Dad, you just called me dumb. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They're all named of God. El, Yah. These are the names of God. Daniel, God is my judge. Hananiah, God has favored me. Mishael, who is what God is? Azariah, Jehovah has helped me. All of them were named of God. All of them had a name that reflected God's character or God's desire for their life. But I want you to see the enemy. Look what the enemy does. To them, verse 7, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. And the sad part of this story is that none of us ever remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We don't remember the godly names because what the enemy wants to do is completely change your identity. And now all we remember is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why Jesus looked at Peter and said, you are Simon, but I'm changing your identity to Cephas. I'm not going to let the enemy change your identity. I'm not going to let the enemy rename you. I'm not going to let the enemy convince you and lie to you and deceive you. No, I am going to rename you ahead of the enemy, and I'm going to declare to the world that in me, I'm giving you an identity because you have a purpose. You see, Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, it means Lord of the treasure. I want your life to be about money. I want you to work for it. I want you to kill yourself for it. I want you to do everything you can to get money and spend it on you. Hananiah, Shadrach means royal. I want you to be about power and position and prominence. I want everyone to know your name. To Mishael, Meshach, you're a guest of the king. Well, let me tell you something. If the king of a queen of England invites me to her house, you better believe it will be an illustration one day here at Lyft, because I want all of you to know I got invited to the queen's house. I want to be popular. You got invited to the queen's house? What? Yes, I did. And our lives are fixed on popularity and everybody knowing who we are. When you hear Pete say, I must decrease so that he can increase. Listen to Azariah. His name became Abednego, which means servant of the enemy, servant of Nebo, the king. I want you to look at your friend and say, you have a purpose. Okay, you failed. You failed miserably, okay? We're gonna try it one more time. Look at your friend and say, you have a purpose. Luke, if you don't do it, you are in a lot of trouble. Lauren, are you in trouble? Okay. Lauren is not in trouble, okay? Luke, you're in a lot of trouble. Here's the deal. Knowing that you're a person of purpose, you have to purpose to be a person of purpose. And I want you to see what Daniel did. Here's where we close. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. You have a purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God. You have no other purpose than that. You may be a doctor to glorify God. You may be a worker at In-N-Out to glorify God. You may be a missionary in Peru to glorify God. But your purpose is to glorify God, period. And in order to fulfill that purpose, you need to be a person of purpose, because the enemy is out to get you. Father, I do come before you in Jesus' name and ask that your great grace would be in our lives, that we shine for you, live for you. And I pray that we would be people of purpose. And I'm asking you humbly in the name of Jesus that your great grace would be upon us, so that as we go out from this place, we would purpose to glorify you. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.